everybody, and welcome to my podcast, Fulfillment in Faith. I am your host, Shannon Bondor, and I am a best-selling author, mentor, mindset and manifesting coach, and public speaker. Today's episode is a continuation of my series, You Are Not the Only One. I was brought forth to do this series because during my healing from my addiction to alcohol, there were so many times that the universe had brought me to silence. And during those times is when I learned so many things about myself and I was guided. I was guided to talk openly about my past, my abuse, my addiction, and to speak my truth. From those moments of silence is when we learn, we grow, we teach, and then we help others. Hello, everybody. So today my guest is Furkan Dandia. Furkan, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing absolutely excellent, and I'm very, very happy that you are here. I'm so excited, number one, because you are an Albertan like me, an Albertan from Canada, which is amazing. So, yes. And yeah, you're close to home for me, so yes. Yeah, it's exciting. So Furkan, could you tell the audience a little bit about yourself? And then from there, if you want to go into your story of your moment of stillness.
Absolutely. Yeah. So first of all, thank you for having me on. And sounds like we're going to be neighbors here very soon.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That'll be very exciting. So yeah, as you said, my name's Furkan Dandia. I'm currently training to become a therapist by December. I'll be done my hours. So I'll be a therapist and I'll hopefully in the new year start to work more and more with people directly, which is kind of where I find my passion and purpose. My story, just to kind of give some background, I grew up in Montreal to immigrant parents. So had to balance, and I've talked about this a lot quite in the past as well, but had to balance two cultures, one at home, a very traditional culture. My parents had immigrated from Pakistan. There was a lot of religious influence growing up. And then I had a culture at school, which was quite different. And primary difference is really, you know, kind of growing up in the Western world, there's focus on the individualistic aspect. And then at home, I was kind of in the collectivistic culture. So it was always a challenge. And very early, I learned how to wear different masks. So there's different masks around my friends, a different mask around family, around siblings. And that was a skill I learned early. The other thing I learned early was suppressing my emotions and feelings, because that was something I didn't know how to do, nor was I encouraged. And it wasn't really role modeled for me. Because my parents also were kind of struggling and trying to figure it out for themselves, or didn't even know what that looked like. So very early on, struggled with that. And looking back, I think what it in a way led me to do was compromise my own needs and often take on being a people pleaser and trying to make sure everyone else was okay with my choices and seeking that external validation. And there's a lot of pressure on me to perform at a very early age. I was also the eldest, so there's this huge pressure that, you know, my parents had left their families to move out to Canada for a better life for their children, and I was the eldest. So it's like, okay, well, now you have this added pressure making sure you do something with your life, so then your siblings have someone to follow or someone's example to follow. I put a lot of my needs aside and decided to go to school to become an engineer. And one of the things that really motivated me or kept me in line was just remembering a lot of the things my mom would say and how many expectations she had on me. And part of the reason I didn't want to fail was not to let her down. So kind of finished school, graduated from engineering, had a job out lined up in Alberta. Everything was going great. And I moved out here 16 years ago. And now it's kind of become home. And I've lived in Calgary for 8 years and I really love it here. But throughout that journey, I didn't really know how to state my needs or assert myself. So as I was checking off all these boxes that a lot of immigrant parents have for their kids, finishing school, getting a job, doing well in life, then it was like, okay, now you need to get married. And I got married. I wasn't really sure if at the time that was the right person for me. I was also looking back fairly young. I didn't really know a whole lot about life. I hadn't experienced anything really. I mean, the biggest adversity I'd experienced at that moment in my life was moving out west on my own, which is, looking back, not a big deal. So I didn't know how to face challenges that life throws your way. So yeah, I got married, and then a year later we were pregnant. So my son was born, and the marriage was rocky. I wasn't very happy. I didn't feel like I could be myself. And that was always something I had struggled with, being myself. I didn't even know what that looked like. All I know is as my son was born, I started questioning my purpose in life, and something inside of me was just like screaming. And it was like, well, this doesn't feel right. So I decided, I felt like maybe, oh, I need to do more education. So I went and got an MBA, and then I realized, like, as I was finishing my MBA, I felt like the sense of depression kick in, because I was like, well, now what? You know, I've distracted myself for 3 years doing this program in school, and when that came to an end, I was like, okay, well, now what? And I knew I didn't want to work in the corporate world anymore. I felt like there was more to life. I had more to give. I wanted to give back to society. I wanted to be more of a present father, more involved in my son's life. And I knew if I continued to work in the corporate world and continued to move up, I would not be given those opportunities. I just couldn't figure out what that looked like. And I then went through a divorce. That was 5 years ago. And as I was struggling with the shame and guilt that comes from divorce, and then the shame of failure for men, and then culturally also feeling that pressure from my parents of a failed marriage, I finally decided to go for therapy, and just in hopes that someone would understand, because I didn't really have anyone in my life, even with friends, who I felt understood me. And in looking back again, I realized that I didn't surround myself with the people that I needed at that time in my life. So as I went for therapy, I started uncovering a lot of things, a lot of childhood trauma, learned a lot about myself, and the things I needed and what I had done to compromise my needs my whole life. And I really started to step into who I was and accepting myself for who I was. And as I was going on this journey of therapy, I realized that I'm not the only man who struggles with this. Men struggle with all kinds of things, but the underlying message around struggle for men is failure or shame, feeling weak. So one of the ways I was able to get through the divorce was focusing on, okay, well, how can I be an advocate for other men? How can I use my experience to help others? And that's when I decided during the pandemic that I was kind of leaning towards it anyways, but I decided to pursue a degree in psychology to become a therapist. And since then, I've started my own podcast where I've talked about these things. I've co-facilitated men's groups. I've worked directly one-on-one with men, whether it's through coaching or counseling. And I feel like this is where I'm supposed to be. And I feel this sense of joy in just being able to do what I do now. And as I'm pivoting through life and starting or going down this new path of becoming a therapist, everything's starting to come together. But yeah, that's my story.
The one thing that I've learned with my journey, is finding my life purpose. And that's what you found, your life purpose. And how we find our life purposes is through our own experiences. A lot of people don't realize that. I think me just saying that is going to be a huge light bulb moment for so many people.
That's correct.
And so if you're lost or confused or you don't know where your direction is in life, look at your past.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and I'm sure we'll get there, but I think, you know, life, and what I try to remind people is life happens for us, not to us.
Yes.
And a lot of these trials and tribulations are meant to help us find our inner strength. I read somewhere, and you know, I'm sure we'll get there as well. Like for me, faith has, I've come back to faith from a different perspective this time, but you know, I feel like God breaks us down so we can have breakthroughs. And a lot of the people I talk to, even on my podcast, who are people who are doing things and giving back, they all went through something difficult in their life. And they use that experience to find their purpose and then help others, just like you said.
One of my favorite phrases that I learned probably about 4 years ago when I started on my journey after I started to heal from my addiction, because I was in such a state of blame and victimhood. And the one phrase that really was an eye opener for me was, thank you for doing me wrong. Because if you really, really think about it, all of those people that you feel had done you wrong, they actually gave you a gift. They gave you that power to find that inner strength within you of who you really are and what you will accept, what you won't accept, where you need to start setting your boundaries. So when something happens to me, contrast that I do not like, I always pull back and I think to myself, because I know I caused it somehow, where is it that I need to improve in my life? So that is one of my most favorite, I don't know if you would call it a phrase or if you would call it a quote, it doesn't really matter, but the power that holds within it is unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And it just gives you a different perspective on so many different areas then, right? Then it gives you a chance to go in a little bit deeper.
For sure. Yeah, I agree.
Throughout your journey, what is it that you feel you learned the most? What did you take away from that?
The thing that I learned the most, I think, you know, we've kind of touched on it a little bit in terms of finding that inner strength. And I think the biggest piece was recognizing that we're not really alone in our struggles. We think we are in those moments. Like I know when I was struggling, there was a lot of dark days and I was like, oh, why is this happening to me? And why am I going through this? And it was always like this victim mentality at times where I felt alone. And when I was able to take my power back and recognize that, okay, this is an opportunity for me to do something different or come out of this as a changed individual, and take those learning experiences, I started realizing that I'm not alone. And it's easy for me to kind of look back in hindsight and say that, but you know, I've been fortunate enough to work with a lot of people over the last year, and I've heard a lot, you know, a lot of struggle, a lot of adversity, a lot of unfortunate situations. And a lot of these people can be like, I wouldn't blame them if they tapped out and there's like, you know what, I'm done, this is too much. But I see a lot of people still having hope, still fighting, still continuing on, even though they don't have the answers, they don't know where the light is, they're still searching it. And just looking at these people inspires me and it reminds me to be grateful. But the underlying emphasis there is that we're not alone, right? And we can, and this is why I appreciate having conversations like this, or having a podcast myself, or going on other podcasts as a guest, is with the hope that if people are listening, they can recognize that, you know, there is something, even if it's like a fraction of someone's story, you can take and apply it to yourself. It can be so powerful and moving. And that's the biggest thing I've learned is we're not alone. And through a lot of the work I've done, whether it's the men's groups I'm a part of, or just talking to people, that's my hope, that we can build this sense of community. We can come together, we can support each other, and not have that sense of isolation that a lot of people struggle with when they're going through the ups and downs of life.
And what I like about the journey that you and I are both on is we're normalizing our problems for other people. You know, I just look at all the, you know, people now that know the journey that I'm on and how they look at me so differently. And they, and it, that's, it's the exact same for you. You know, there's the, there's more, and I find them to be more at comfortable and more at ease being in my presence than they ever were before, because they know my story. They know my background. They know the confidence that I have. They know that I will literally talk about anything. And that's the type of person that I want to be around, right? And I am that person. So we're normalizing our trials and tribulations for others to speak freely and openly. And I think that's the greatest gift that we can give others out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's something to be said about, even with the trials and tribulations, there's this aspect of belief. And you know, going back to when I was going through those tough times, what really held things together for me was this belief in myself. And again, looking back, you know, I've been, over the last couple of years, reading a lot about, well, just reading in general, but reading a lot about men I could look up to. And a lot of these men are no longer in this world. But what stuck out for me in a lot of these stories is these men that fought for their truth and their belief in that truth. And I think there's something powerful there when you can have so much conviction in what you believe in, nothing can really stop you. And a lot of the universal forces almost align to support you, at least based on what I've seen. And that was kind of what got me through also, was this belief in myself that, you know, I believe that I can come out of this. I believe that I'm doing what's best for me. I believe in the love I have for my child. And that really got me through a lot of those tough moments. But I think it's important to believe in yourself.
But also being in tune with who you are now from where you were, I find causes me confusion is when, like, I know what I want. I know the direction that I'm going. And it's so funny, and you're going to be, you know, I know you're experiencing this too, is when people on the outside world try and tell you what you should and shouldn't be doing. And even if I listen to them for a split second, that's where my confusion comes in. But if I come back to myself, it's like, no, I know what I want. And that's the problem with the world. Too much what's happening on the outside of us.
Yeah, for sure.
So what is the, what is it that you want individuals out there that are listening to this podcast? What do you want their takeaway to be? What advice would you give them?
I think, I mean, I touched on it in the sense of belief, right? And I know that could be, that's pretty broad and almost cliche, but everyone I come across now, if they're either wanting to go on their own individual journey, or they're wanting to make a difficult decision, because we all come across those crossroads, I tend to tell people that if your heart is pure and you've got love in your heart, and if you've got the right intentions, then continue to lean in that direction and it will never fail you. That's what I've learned through experience. I know whenever I've, and I guess I'm fortunate in this sense, but whenever I've leaned into something where my intentions were really pure, or there was some personal gain, or my ego was going to be inflated, I tend to fall on my face, or things don't work out. And that's always a good reminder for me. And it's easy to get worked up and be like, oh, this sucks or that. But when you really sit down with yourself and go inward, and I know we'll talk about stillness here, but when you go inward, you can be honest with yourself, right? And a lot of people will either deceive themselves or have this sense of delusion. But when you're really honest with yourself, you know what your intentions were. And that's why I think pure intentions, where you're just looking out for what's best for everyone, not only yourself. Obviously, yeah, you want things to work out for yourself, but when you're looking at it from the sense, okay, what's the best case scenario for everyone involved? That means your intentions are pure. And if you're going in with a clean heart, now, what's a clean heart? Well, I think again, it's, are you doing this for your own ego, for your own fame, for praise, for recognition? Then you need to ask yourself, okay, well, are my am my intentions right here? Like, am I in the right place? So that's what I mean by belief in yourself, right? And I try, it's hard, but on a daily basis, I try to practice that. I try to focus on, okay, why am I doing this? Why am I getting upset with someone saying something or something happening to me? Is it my ego or is it me? So a lot of the times it is that ego that creeps up, and that's okay too, right? We want that. We need
The
that.
ego can also be a protected protective mechanism too as well.
Correct.
Right? See, and we can either, like when you said, you know, having belief in yourself is kind of a broad term. If you really think about it, no, my belief is that it's really not. You can either complicate things as much as you can, or you can
Right.
simplify things,
Yes.
right? So with my journey, I'm trying to simplify things as much as I can. And I can either look at things as being difficult or I can look at things as being hard. And what I've learned to is definitely go within who I am, but at the same time, I can read my feelings and emotions. If it's for me, I look at it as peace, love, joy, happiness. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
calmness.
Yes.
But if I'm doing it for somebody else or for ego or whatever else, that's where the chaos and all of that comes in. So that's how I've simplified things for myself. And it's,
Right.
I look at it this way or I look at it this way. And when all that stuff gets too confusing, it's like, okay, yeah, this is not what I want.
Right.
This is
Yeah.
totally outside world happening for me right here.
Absolutely. I think you're right. I mean, the belief in yourself is simple, but for a lot of people, I think they struggle with it because we have so many layers that we need to peel off. We have, and I alluded to earlier, wearing different masks. So a lot of people have those masks. People put on armor because of the life experiences they've had, especially from childhood, especially if you've had a tough childhood. And tough is very subjective because I think there's incidents or situations that happen to all of us that kind of force us in a way to put that protective armor on. But once you're able to peel all of that off and really get down to the core of who you are, then yes, the belief in yourself becomes a lot simpler. Now, you know, I've got this passion and pursuit of wanting to support others and give back. But from time to time, my ego kicks in, right? If I don't get the recognition I wanted, or if I didn't get the praise, or if I didn't get the likes or the follows, but that is part of the journey too. And it's been a great I guess, challenge for me over the last couple of years to continue to look at myself in the mirror. I'm like, okay, what is this metric doing for me? And there's part of my ego that's getting inflated or is seeking that validation or approval from others. And again, it's another layer I have to peel back. And it's been an ongoing journey. And I know it's going to be an ongoing journey for the rest of my life because, like you said, the ego is there as a protective mechanism too, but and it's always going to be there, but it's good to keep it in check and be aware of it.
And anybody that's listening to this, like what I've experienced, same as you, is this is years of mindset and personal development. Like what
Yes.
we're talking about here, we've looked into ourselves, we've worked on ourselves, we pay attention. I pay attention to how I talk, like everything. And it's all, yeah, this is, I've been working on it, working on it, working on it. Like this just does not happen overnight. Like
No.
transition. Because, and another thing too, is it also stems back to all those belief systems that we've got within us. And a lot of times they're not even our belief systems anymore. They're generational. These are belief systems, you know, that have been brought, you know, from our great ancestors, our grandparents to our parents. And now, do these belief systems really suit who we are? Right. So this, like, now we're starting to get in a little bit deep here, right? You know? So, but I just want people to know that this is a transition that you have to go through, and you got to grow into it, and you'll find you need to grow into to become that person that you want to be. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I just want to add a little tidbit there too, because I think we often underappreciate the conditioning we go throughout our lives, whether it's from our families, society, culture, school. We constantly get conditioned. And from a behavioral psychology perspective, anytime you please someone or you follow a certain rule or a certain norm, you're getting positively reinforced by that validation or that praise. So that adds to who you are, and it's probably not someone who you want to be. And perhaps that conditioning impacts your belief system too, right? So to your point, it is an ongoing journey. It's like the analogy I use is it's like an operating system or an algorithm. You have to debug it and let it run in a different way and continue to plug away at it. Just like yourself, I am constantly mindful of what I'm saying. Like there's often, because of the work I've done, sometimes there is a sense of arrogance that comes through as well when people say or do things, and I'm like, look at them, like I'm like, what, those are your values? But again, that is an opportunity for me to remind myself that I have to keep my ego in check, because there is that, and I see it on social media as well for a lot of people. When you get to a certain point in your personal development, you almost start looking down at others who are going at their own pace or are on their own path. And everyone is on their own individual path. Some people are taking many detours. I know I did for many, many years. Occasionally, I still do too now. But, I think what I've realized, and this has really stuck with me, is all paths lead to the same place. It's just everyone's on their own individual path.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good conversation here. I'm loving every minute of it. So you had mentioned that we're getting to, into the closing of the interview here. And you had mentioned that you're going to be a therapist in December, and then you've got your podcast. Can you go a little bit more in depth? Because all of this here is what's going to be in the notes of the podcast. You know, so, you know, your final closing words, you know, what's your podcast name? You know, all of that.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. So my podcast is called Easy Conversations. It's a bit of play on words, so it's EZ Conversations. But really, the idea came about, like I said, I decided to go into the master's program for psychology, and I started the podcast around the same time. And I was starting to have because I was going through my own journey and coming through all these realizations, I started having a lot of conversations with other men about their struggles. And, you know, we'd be sitting down at a pub, in a pub or at a coffee shop, and having these deep conversations. And I realized that, you know, a lot of people can benefit from hearing this, just like what you and I are talking about, right? And I'm like, well, this could also be an opportunity for people or men to feel encouraged to have similar conversations with their friends or other men in their lives. So that was kind of it. Like, my first episode I released was with a friend of mine from high school, whom I've known for like almost 30 years. And we talked about stuff, and that was well received, and that kind of just took off from there. And then I started bringing on people that I didn't know personally, and I met through connections on social media or recommendations, and we would talk about pretty much what you and I've talked about. What was their adversity like? What did they learn from that experience, and how were they using that experience now to help others and give back? And yeah, and now it's kind of evolved more where I'm talking about spirituality, societal issues, because I feel like a lot of the societal issues we're seeing today do impact people's mental health. And I feel like spirituality has a huge component, and I feel like it's often overlooked when it comes to mental health. And a lot of the research I've done or come across shows that there is that spiritual sense that helps a lot of people on their mental health journey. It's not the only answer, but it is definitely a big answer for many, many people, because you're able to surrender to this higher power or realize that a lot of things aren't in your control and the universe is acting in a certain way. And sometimes all you need to do is wait it out. And that's really helped me. I know when my faith wasn't as strong, I would get worked up when things didn't work out and start having this depressive outlook on life. But when I kind of just leaned into it and surrendered and kind of went with focusing on what was in my control and doing all the right things and sticking to my practices and routine, things started to shape up. And then I would look back, I'm like, wow, this worked out better than I could have imagined it to be, or even played it out in my own mind.
Spirituality played a huge role in me becoming the person I am today.
Mm-hmm.
Because once I started to believe in myself, then I was I can honestly say and believe it wholeheartedly that I was divinely guided,
mm-hmm.
needed to be and where I am today. Because
mm-hmm.
like even within the last 6 months, just to see the people that were brought into my life to get me, you know, to the things that I wanted or that I needed to grow or whatever, they all just came.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Like that does not happen unless you have that awakening of spirituality within you for sure. Or these intuitive hits, you know, that would guide me. Oh, well, maybe I'll do this. No, you know what? You should go in this direction. I'll go in that direction. Oh, well, look who came into my life because of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, like that is pure divine guidance. Yeah. Spirituality
yeah.
is huge with me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do wanted to put a, you know, add a piece here, because I know you and I were talking about stillness, and that's something we talked about. And that really shifted or changed the course of my life and really allowed me to dive deeper into my own spirituality. I was kind of on that path, and I'll keep the story short, but my ex-wife and son were moving away to another city, same country, but further away. And that was really hard, because I was still seeing my son. It wasn't as much as I would like, but him moving away meant like distance and not being able to see him as much. And I was really, really struggling. And fortunately, that whole process got delayed, not because of something I did, just on its own, it got delayed. And that delay allowed me to make a lot of changes in my life. Not, again, it was very subconscious. And I started inviting certain people into my life that were benefiting me and were positive. I started reading a lot of books. I started implementing things in my life to the point when that fork in the road came again about him moving. I was in a very, very good place, but I still didn't know how to handle that situation. And I remember this day briefly because I went for a hike hoping to get some answers. And at the peak of this hike, I'm sitting on the edge of the mountain and I just see how small I am in comparison to everything around us, in general, right? But just being at the top of the mountain and put that into a deeper perspective. And I remember this vividly. I was just looking at the trees and I saw all these trees, and there's some trees that are dead. And then I'm looking at the branches, and there's different branches. Some branches are falling. And then there's new trees that are growing, and the older trees have made way for them. And I kind of like looked at it as in that's like me and my son. I've made the way for him, but he's on his own journey. And this could be part of his journey. And I can't control that. But what I can do is be there for him unconditionally and do whatever I can to be supportive and show him the most love I can when he seeks it. And that gave me so much peace. But it was that moment of stillness where I was able to tap into what I can explain, something divine. And then that just from there on, it's just been, and that was like a little over a year ago. But since then, I've had many, many experiences, met many, many people. And to very similar to yourself, it's reinforced a lot of these things for me, and I know I'm here serving a purpose, just like my son is, but it's brought me a lot of peace. And anytime things get difficult, I'm able to turn back and seek guidance, and answers. And often they do come. It just takes time.
Yeah, no, that was absolutely beautiful what you just shared there, because that made me, as a parent, we want to have so much control over our children. And I just had an experience with my oldest daughter, and it wasn't anything, major or anything. How normally before I would have been upset. But now, where I am now, I just looked at her and I said, this is just an experience. Like, it's all okay. What did you learn from it? She goes, I just felt shame. And, so it actually brought her to the surface. I mean, the way I talk to her now about bringing her feelings to the surface, not suppressing feelings. And that just gives my children the security, knowing that they can come and they can talk to me because I'm in a totally different place from where I was before. And then for them to express themselves and not have that shame or guilt, and to know that mistakes happen. It's okay. What did you learn from it? Because that's all I ever ask of them. What did you learn from it? Because if they learned something from it, they're not going to do it again. Or hopefully, they're not put in a situation, right? So that's a big thing for sure. Yeah. Oh, this was an absolutely wonderful interview. I thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Is there any final words that you want to say to the audience before we go?
I mean, I think I've said a lot, but yeah, I think just recognizing that we all have a unique gift that we have to offer. And sometimes, well, I would say most of the time when we go through these difficult experiences in life, or however you want to label it, you really realize what that unique gift is. And what I want people to do is to nourish and nurture that gift and offer it to others, because often we lose sight of it and we try to look at others. We're like, oh, this person's doing this with their life, or that person's doing this, or why are things so difficult for me, or why am I here? And all of that is noise. I think you really, we touched on the stillness piece, we touched on the going inward. Those are very crucial practices to be able to find that that fire within you, that gift within you that you can offer to others. And I mean, I can say that from firsthand experience. You know, it's invited so many people, and I could see the impact the little things I do have on others just by harnessing that gift. So that would be one thing I'd like to leave people with.
Yeah, no, that's really good advice. Thank you so much. Once again, thank you for being on my podcast. Thank you for being a part of my journey, and it was wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to come on here and talk and share a little bit about what I do. So very much appreciated.
You are very welcome. I want to say thank you for sharing this time with me. And don't forget to subscribe so you receive every episode. And please share this podcast with others. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram. And if you would like more information on my mindset and manifesting coaching, go to shannonmondor.com. Until next episode, blessings to all, and thank you for being a part of my journey.